Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, October 19th. Today, we're visiting with Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung to discuss newly released inflation numbers. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at Forvis. Forvis is an accounting and advisory services firm that offers comprehensive assurance, tax, and advisory services to various industries. Created by the merger of equals of BKD and DHG, Forvis now ranks among the nation's top 10 professional services firms. To learn more about how Forvis can help your organization manage change, stay compliant, and bolster your bottom line, visit their website at forvis.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Colorado's environmental consciousness increased steadily from the 1960s onward as frenetic population growth cluttered the state's landscape and put ever greater pressure on its resources. Those individuals who feared the consequences of such development often turned to politics and peaceful protest, but some occasionally crossed the line of violence. When residents of Vail awoke to smoke rising from the ridge high above town on this day in 1998, they saw firsthand the willingness of some environmental activists to fight with fire. That year, the resort planned an 885-acre expansion into White River National Forest on land designated as part of Vail since its founding in the 1950s. The proposal earned the enmity of an international decentralized movement known as the Earth Liberation Front for its potential impact on links in the region. After setting up caches of gasoline, seven ELF supporters calling themselves the Family set three buildings and four chairlifts ablaze. No one was injured, but the fires caused an estimated $12 million in damages. Later that day, media outlets received messages from the Family declaring, quote, "putting profits ahead of Colorado's wildlife will not be tolerated. This action is just a warning. We will be back if this greedy corporation continues to trespass into wild and unroaded areas." The Federal Bureau of Investigation labeled the crime eco-terrorism and pursued the perpetrators. Six members of the Family eventually went to prison. One remains at large. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun has created a 2022 voter guide to help you navigate filling out your ballot. The guide has information on ballot measures, when the debates are being held, breakdowns of campaign finances, the latest on election news, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/vote to check it out. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today, we are visiting with the Sun's business reporter, Tamara Chung. Hello, Tamara.
Hi, Carol.
Thanks for coming back. Today, I really wanted to see if we could delve a little bit into last week's What's Working newsletter, the newsletter that you send to our readers. They can request it in their inbox every Saturday morning. And you reported on a topic that is really close to all of us right now, and that is inflation, and certainly inflation in Colorado and in the Denver metro area. And I think the thing that jumped out at me the most was just the Denver metro area's inflation rate in September was sitting at 7.7%, which is very high. What did you learn about this?
Well, the 7.7%, this is the change in the consumer price index. So prices are on average 7.7% higher than they were 12 months ago. The thing about the 7.7% is that's actually lower than what it was in March. So if you rewind, go back to March, the Denver area inflation rate was 9.1%. It's actually slowed. And while that sounds good, you know, the rate of growth of inflation has been slowing, we're still up 7.7%. And the thing is, that 7.7, that measures, you know, how much more food costs, how much more gasoline costs, energy, and everything like that. And if you remember, you know, at the gas pump, prices are a lot better than they used to be in June and July. So the decline in gas prices has affected the September rate. So that means in other things, prices have gone up. So let's see, I did pull out some of the stats for Denver.
On that note, you know, when you mentioned gas prices, that is something that I notice. We're a one-car household, so I don't fill the tank up a lot. I ride my bike a lot or walk, or I use public transit. However, when I do go to fill up the car, Yes, the prices are down significantly from late winter, early spring, but it seems like maybe that is balanced out by the increase in some of these other things that you reported on.
Yes, and that's the thing. I mean, I pointed out, like, compared to the June and July numbers, the cost that consumers pay for gas is down 22%, whereas electricity is up 3%. So this is just in the past few months. And that's why this inflation rate, you know, it changes from month to month. But the industry standard is to look at the change in consumer prices. And that's why, and only for the last 12 months. So that's why we have 7.7%, which is lower than the U.S. inflation rate for September.
I was going to ask you about that, where we sit as a, you know, where the U.S. sits, and if there is a broader index for the entire state of Colorado that we can look at.
So back in March, remember I mentioned that the Denver area inflation rate was 9.1%. That was higher than the U.S. average, which I think was around 8.5%. So, you know, fast forward to September, and the amount our prices are increasing is less than the U.S. inflation rate. So, you know, Denver tends to be ahead, if you want to think about it that way. And you asked about the Colorado inflation rate. So the strange thing about all of this, you know, all this data, like the consumer price index change, comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you know, the U.S. agency. And they do not track every state, which to me was like, what? Why not? And I actually asked them about this, the BLS, and they said, well, it's not in our budget. So I don't know what that really means, but they right now don't have the funds to look at all these different measurements in every single state. But I can add that they do look at smaller subsets. Like they look at cities, urban areas. They look at 23 metropolitan areas. And that's why Denver is one of those 23. So that's why we can sort of compare ourselves to the rest of the nation by looking at those 23 metropolitan areas.
Got it. And then I noted that you talked to a senior economist at the Common Sense Institute, Stephen Byers, I think was his name. And one of the things that you reported on with him was the average Colorado household spending a fair amount more in August and September because of inflation. Can you tell us a little bit more about what he had to say?
Yeah. So the Common Sense Institute, which is a political think tank that tends to lean conservative, they try to put a number on this. So they look at, okay, well, food in Colorado or in Denver increase X percent each month. So they've just added it up since, I think their starting point might have been the pandemic. So like since the pandemic started, costs have gone up for Colorado households. And for the August-September inflation, they're saying we spent $1,685 more because of inflation. Pulled out, that's an extra $111 a month on food. So, you know, take it at what you will. You know, there's different household sizes and spending habits in Colorado. So, you know, if you're spending $100 more on food a month, you fit right into Steve Byers' report. And some people probably spend more.
Right. And then you got personal with the readers of the What's Working, Your What's Working column and sent them, included another poll in your column on how inflation has personally hit their wallets. What kind of responses did you get?
Well, one of the things I asked, and this is actually a survey I've run in the column before, like over the summer. And one of the questions was, you know, are you financially better or worse than last year? And so this was sort of interesting. 32% said they're the same, no change compared, you know, this year compared to last year. 13% said they're doing better. So they're eating out more. They're spending more money. And that could be because they got a raise or some other reason. I mean, we still have the majority of people, that's 53%, who said they're worse off. And there's all sorts of responses. You know, I let people share specifics. And, you know, a lot of the people who did share were the ones who are doing worse off. So, you know, sharing things like buying less meat. But for a lot of people, and especially those who are retired, you know, they just feel like they've absorbed the inflation already. So they may not have been eating out anyway because of the pandemic and stuff. So their spending habits haven't changed that much, and neither has their budget.
That's interesting. It just really goes to show that everybody has such a personal experience with whatever is going on for them, whether it is grocery prices or gas prices or going out to eat either more or less. So I hope you keep running the polls in your column, because I do enjoy hearing from the listeners and the readers on what their experiences are. Tamara, anything else to add on inflation that we didn't hit on?
Well, I'm always looking for personal stories, so, and photos, you know. So if you see something, you know, and I share this with all readers, if you find a great example of inflation at your local grocery store, or, you know, take a picture and email me. I'm at Tamara@ColoradoSun.com.
That would be great. And to that point, if you also have, if our listeners have ideas or thoughts about the podcast, drop us an email at podcast@ColoradoSun.com. And thanks, Tamara, for stopping in today, and to everybody who helped produce today's podcast, along with our production partners, Pirate Audio. And have a wonderful day out there. I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next episode of the Daily Sun Up.
Read more at ColoradoSun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A southeastern Colorado water pipeline project approved in 1962 is finally nearing the finish line and will be completed earlier than anticipated after a new infusion of money. About 50,000 residents across 40 communities by 2029 could have safe, clean drinking water by the end of the decade. The federal government agreed Monday to spend $60 million on the 130-mile pipeline project in the Arkansas Valley region, where the groundwater is contaminated with naturally occurring radionuclides. The conduit was expected to be completed by 2035, but the new funding will accelerate that timeline. Voters in a number of Colorado ski towns will get to weigh in on short-term rentals regulations and funding for affordable housing. The record influx of visitors in 2021 has mountain communities looking at how to help house local workers who are getting pushed out by fewer long-term rental options and home prices doubling since the pandemic. Aspen, Durango, and Steamboat Springs are among a list of municipalities asking voters to increase taxes on short-term rental properties or repurpose lodging tax revenue to help fund affordable housing. For more on the November 8th election, check out the Sun's Voter Guide. Though illegal, the climbing sport known as bouldering, where climbers scale buildings and structures, is thriving in Colorado, especially on college campuses. Many of the state's top mountaineers and guides point to late-night ascents of campus and downtown buildings as the spark for their outdoor careers. Urban climbers decades ago seeded the indoor climbing movement that not only spawned thousands of climbing gyms, but pushed climbing into the Olympics. And those contrived cliffs of stacked red sandstone and limestone at Colorado campuses started it all. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to ColoradoSun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.